blessed to hear today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I may ought to have preached on the dry bones this morning. Amen. But I felt didn't even enter my realm of thinking, because God wants us to talk about David today and how to overcome giants in our life. I feel like I'm like really loud. Am I really loud? I'm really loud. If I can hear myself, I know you all have got to really hear yourself. Isn't that right, Jennifer? Jennifer's my sister-in-law, for those of you that know it. We're glad you're coming. Hallelujah. She gets to see another side of me that she's never seen before. Hallelujah. So today we're going to be talking about David. Probably one of the most familiar stories in the Bible is the one of David Goliath. If you went to Sunday school, you've heard this story over and over and probably have heard messages over it. And it's a story of a simple shepherd boy's bravery and trust in God, who dared to step out in faith and not allow fear to keep him from doing what he knew he needed to do. And you know, David is not the only person to come up against a giant. We might not literally come up against a human giant as big as David, but all of us as believers are going to find ourselves in life face to face with big challenges that at the moment that seems like a giant. Amen. And what we do at that moment is going to determine how the outcome is going to be. Amen. So you may find yourself staring into the eyes of a Goliath this morning. And it might be depression. It might be some sickness that you're dealing with. It may be financial. It may be a bully. You know, grown-ups can be bullies too. Amen. But whatever it may be, whatever that giant may be this morning, at that moment, either faith or fear takes over. And that's why it's so important to come to church and get filled with that word, even when you're not going through anything. You know, life may be smooth sailing, and you'll think, well, I'll just skip this Sunday, and then pretty soon you'll skip the next Sunday, and pretty soon you skip the next Sunday, and all it was, a giant comes, boom, in your life. And then you remember, well, I probably need to get back to church. Amen. So we want to keep full of the word, keep in fellowship with like saints, that when those giants come, we can say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I need you to agree with me. I need you to remind me of what the word says. Amen. So that's what we want to do. So at that moment, either fear or faith takes over. So we can learn from David how to face the giants that come along in our life and some of the things that he did. And so we start out in 1 Samuel 17 that the Philistines, which was the enemy of Israel, gathered their forces for war and assembled at Judah. Now the enemy had invaded the Israelite territory which belonged to Judah. Now the enemy had came on their territory. So when we're faced with that giant, he has entered into a no trespassing land. And we have the authority to throw him off. Amen. We have the authority to throw him off of our property. The Bible says that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we need to make sure we got that no trespassing signed up. But every once in a while, he'll sneak in. Every once in a while, we get hit with that fiery dart. Amen. So he had come upon the territory of the Israelites. And when we're struck with a giant in our lives, whatever it is, he has come on territory that belongs to God. And now the battle is on. Amen. And we already have the promise that we overcome. So we don't want to ever forget that when we're facing that giant, that we already have the promise that we're overcomers. Amen. So we need to stop and tell the giant not how big he is, whatever it is, but how big your God is. Amen. Because the faith that we have is the faith in a big God that can do impossible things. So one of the truths when I began to study this again, one of the truths that enabled David to face the giant was that he viewed the whole situation through God's covenant, the old covenant back then. Amen? Because they were circumcised, the enemy wasn't. That was their covenant with God back then. Amen? So he viewed the whole situation through the eyes of the covenant that he had with God. And so when we're up against the giant in life, whatever it may be, whatever your giant is, you've got to look through it, to it, and through it in the eyes of the covenant that you have with God at the cross, at the cross. Amen. Through the eyes or the covenant relationship you have with God. 1 Samuel 17:26, David had already come, and you know the story. He'd already been sent by his father to go check out the boys and see how it was going and everything. And it says, what shall, and so when he got there, he began to see a situation that he just really couldn't believe. You know, why are you all cowering back in fear, you know? What shall be done, David said, to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So when that giant comes up against you, you need to look it in the eye, whatever it is, and say, how dare you come up and trespass on property that belongs to Jehovah? Hallelujah. Anybody hear that this morning? So he said, how dare you defy? How can you defy the word of the Lord? Sickness, depression. Look it in the eye. Say, how can you defy? David pointing out that Goliath, being uncircumcised, was that he did not have any covenant rights like he did. You don't have any covenant rights, Goliath. You don't have any covenant rights, giant. But we that are born again do. Amen. So all the soldiers who was in the fear of this giant was God's covenant people. But at this time, they were not acting like it. Do we always act like that we're in a covenant relationship with God? Not all the time, because none of us are all the way delivered yet. Amen. But we're working towards that. Amen. So we, as sons and daughters of God, believers, have that covenant rights to health, prosperity, joy, and peace, and to live an abundant life in this earth now. So when we are faced with the giants in our lives that come to steal our health, our joy, and our prosperity, we look at those giants through the covenant that we have with God. The Israelite soldiers, there that day as Goliath walking back and forth taunting them, they were looking at Goliath and not at the promises of God. So I want to challenge you with the question, what are you looking at? Is the giant bigger than the word in your perspective? You know, when you talk about limiting God, God's not limited, but only in your mind and only what you see him at. So when you're looking at that impossible situation or what you may have heard, are you looking at it through the eyes of how God sees it and the promises of God? Or are you looking at it through fear? What if? Why? Yeah, the fact was there was a giant, as we said before, but truth always prevails over fact. Truth always prevails over fact. The fact was there was a giant there, but David kept his attention on the promises of God, which was the truth. That's our sure foundation, church. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. So David voiced his faith in spite of the circumstances. So we've got to make sure that what we're saying is the voice of faith that's speaking into the circumstance. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, David said, that he should defy the armies of the living God? There are two things that we can take away from this scripture that I just read. Anytime we are faced with those giants in our life, the reports that it's not what the word is saying. First thing we do is we keep our eyes, as I said, on the promises of God. That's the first thing we do. Keep your eyes, meditate on the word. And then we continue to give voice to our faith in spite of the circumstances. We continue to give voice to our faith in spite of the circumstances. What is the word saying about the situation? As Pastor Laverne so well taught us, get you a scripture for that moment and then stand on that word. Amen. So he began to, then what happened next? He began to be criticized by his brothers. And you know, your family sometimes is your worst critic. Your family sometimes is the ones that don't understand. So anytime we take a stand for the truth of the word, we may be criticized sometimes from those who are the closest to us. Because you know why? Because they see us in real life situations. Amen. So 1 Samuel 17 and 28 through 30 says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the man, and his brother's anger was kindled against him," David. "And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for you've come down that you may see what the battle is all about." And David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause worth fighting for?" If God gives you a cause, then it's worth fighting for, whatever it is. Amen. "And he turned from him toward another, spoke the same thing. The people answered him after this former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they went straight to the king, and King Saul, and then King Saul sent for him." He said, you know, even King Saul was afraid. Even the king was afraid. So he said, "Listen, I don't know who's out here saying they're willing to go against this giant, but go get him, because I'm not going to be the one that's doing it." Amen. You know, you've got to have somebody in the midst that's willing to stand up and say, "Listen, we can do this. We can overcome this." So David didn't try to justify himself to his brothers. You don't have to justify what you're doing for the cross of Christ, for the cost of whatever God's telling you. You don't have to justify why you're doing it. You just keep on doing it. Because if you've got that word from the Lord, you just keep on doing it. When everybody else says you're crazy and they don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, you don't have to justify yourself. If you've got your word from the Lord, you just keep doing what you're doing. Amen? Because he's the one that matters anyway. So he just turned and repeated his statement of faith, David did. Someone heard what he said and told Israel's King Saul. David told Saul, "No one should become discouraged because of this. No one should be discouraged because there's a giant taunting you. After all, he's your enemy, and that's what enemies do." You know? So he said, "I will go and fight him." Saul responded to David, "You can't fight this Philistine. You're just a boy, but he's been a warrior since he was your age." I'm telling you, church, God is raising up a generation of people younger than all of us in here that's going to begin to speak the truth. And their age is not going to be a factor. Amen? And so when God lays a thing on your heart and you start communicating that, opposition, even from your family, but do it as David did, because there is a cause. And sometimes you have to take a stand and look and ask yourself, is this thing I want victory over worth fighting for? If God has given it to you, believe me, it's worth fighting for. Amen. So if it is, then you have a cause that others, as I said, may not understand. But you know you've got that word from the Lord. And when you've got that word from the Lord, you can stand on it. And it's not going to fail. It's not going to fail. So even the king tried to talk him out of it. King Saul began to talk to David out of what was in his heart. He spoke of David, his inexperience and his youth and his size and all of this stuff. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Amen. Don't despise where you have come from in life. Don't despise what you've even been through. Because God's going to take all of that, and he's going to make a message out of it. Amen. If you've been through it, then you might as well use it. Amen. So he spoke all this to David. Verse 34 and 37 says, David replied to Saul. So here's David. He began to speak from his experience of what God has already done. And so when we're facing those giants in life, we've already probably been through some stuff anyway. And the more experience and more our relationship with God grows, sometimes the giants get bigger. Amen. So David began to speak what he'd already seen God do. So if you're facing a big giant that you have never faced this morning, you begin to speak about the little things that God's delivered you from. And if he can deliver you from the little thing, he's going to deliver you from the big thing. Because there's no little or big thing with God, because he's God. And a problem is a problem. We sometimes magnify it in our mind and magnify it in our imagination. So David said to Saul, I'm a shepherd for my father's sheep, and whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. We need some people that will go after it. We need some people that are brave and bold enough in the power of the Holy Ghost to stand up and say, I'm going after that thing. Amen. It's attacking my brother. It's attacking my sister. I'm not having it. And he said, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. If it attacked me, I took hold of its mane, struck it, killed it. Well, he said, I've killed lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has challenged the army of the living God. As David added, the Lord who saved me, the Lord who delivered me, the Lord who kept me through it all, he will save me also from this. And that's your word today. Amen. The Lord has done it before. He's going to do it again, church. The Lord that's done it before, he's going to do it again. And you need to put yourself in remembrance of those times that God did it for you. Hallelujah. And if he did it once, he'll do it again. It's the enemy's job, you've got to understand, is to challenge the word that you've received. That's what he does. So he began to rehearse to King Saul the victories the Lord had given him. And as I said, the day of small beginnings, Luke 16:10 tells us, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful also is least is faithful also in much. You know, if you don't fight the smaller giants, you're not going to win over the bigger ones. Amen. So any giant, fight it. Because there's a cause worth fighting for. And you don't fight it in your own strength. You fight it in the power of the Holy Spirit and in what you know the word says. So if David had not been faithful with the few sheep the Lord had given him to keep on the backside of the desert, back there away from everybody, probably day after day after day, but he was given a job to do and he was faithful to what he was doing, even though at the time he may not understood. He probably didn't know where he was going to be someday, but he said, I'm going to do what I'm doing right now because that's what God has put in my hands to do, and then we'll just go with it. It may not lead anywhere, but if it does, I'm prepared for it when it does happen. Amen. David spoke with such faith and confidence in it to the Lord that it convinced Saul to let him represent Israel and go and fight Goliath. David did go up to Saul and say, I don't know if I can do it or not, but God did deliver all these things out of my hand at one time, and maybe I can. But we need some people that will speak with confidence and with boldness and says, I've heard the Lord, and this is what he is saying. This is what he was saying. And you may think, what if it's not God? Well, it's not going to happen. Amen. It's just not going to happen. But somebody's got to be willing to begin to speak on behalf of God. What he's wanting to do in the earth so we can get out there in the atmosphere and then begin to see it happen. Saul began to recognize the anointing of God upon David. Amen. He began to recognize that anointing. And you know, Saul knew the anointing because he wants to operate in it. So he knew what the anointing looked like and how powerful it was. So Saul let David go. Before he went, though, he tried to put his armor on him. And there's another lesson here. Verse 38 and 39 says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass on his head, armed with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he tried to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. Don't try to walk under somebody else's anointing. You have got your anointing that God has given you. And when you go off and fight the Goliath or the giant in your life, he may tell you something to do that nobody else has done before. You fight it in the way that God tells you to. Amen. A lesson we learn from this scripture is you have an anointing to overcome to fight the giants that come along in your life. God has given you that same anointing. Amen. Take the time to listen to God. He'll give you step-by-step instruction on what to do. And it may not happen overnight, but as you walk, he will give you the instruction to do it. Amen. So people try to tell you your faith in God won't overcome your giants. They'll try to give you advice You know those well-meaning people that we talk about sometimes. On how to fight the battle, this is what Saul would do. He wanted to give David his armor. And he said, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to put on my armor, and you're going to go out there and do it this way. David said, I can't do that because his armor's not fitting me. This is not the anointing that God gave me to do it this way. This is how God is showing me to do it. So David did not need to put his faith in Saul's armor. Amen. After all, Saul was also, as I said, he was also afraid of the giant. He was also afraid of Goliath. So what good was his anointing and his armor going to do for David? Amen. So David struck step with what he had already been proven in his life, because he had approved the anointing that was on him, fought off the lion and fought off the bear and all those things on the backside of the desert where nobody else was watching. Amen. So David had to listen to the mockery of the enemy of Goliath, and the enemy loves to mock you. If God said, why it has not happened? Why are you still hurting when God says you are healed? That was a mockery taunt of the enemy that he whispers to us. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Now, a dog back then was an unclean animal. That you come to me with staves? So he was very offended that David called him a dog. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And he said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Amen. So when you choose to stand, and having done all to stand, the devil will try to use bullying tactics against you, because he is the greatest bully. He will try to bully you enough to get you out of faith and to get you to quit believing by those whispers that he's telling you. Bullying just started a few years ago in our school. It's a spirit. It is a spirit. Amen. So when he looks at you, when the enemy looks at you, he may see opposite of what is roaring on the inside of you, Pastor. As you said earlier, what's happening in you is more important than what happened around you. The enemy has been so busy talking so loud, and that's why he talks so loud, because he's trying to talk you out of it, and he don't want to hear what you're saying. But there is a roar inside of each and every one of you, and all you've got to do is open your mouth and let it go. And when you begin to speak the word, there are things that begin to shake and rattle that you've never heard the likes of before. Amen. So the enemy's been talking so loud, he's trying to talk you out of faith. And as I said, a dog mentioned in the Bible is considered an unclean animal. So here he was calling his enemy a dog. And as I said, there's a roar from the mouth of this youth, ruddy and fair countenance little boy or young man, full of faith, and he knew his covenant rights, and who was looking at the whole situation through the eyes of the covenant he had with Jehovah. Goliath did not know what was about to go down. And I'm going to tell you right now, I see the enemy just surrounding some of you all. And I'm telling you, church, God said there's a fresh anointing coming up on you right now. Hey, there's a fresh anointing coming up on you right now. And you're going to begin to roar like you have never roared. There's some word that's going to be coming back up inside of you that you had forgotten about. And God says you're going to begin to speak that. And when you begin to speak that, there's going to be such a shifting that takes place in that situation that you're going to step back and say, my God, you've done it again. Hallelujah. Hey, somebody. Hey. Come on now. Then the roar came forth. Verse 45 through 47. David said to him, you come to me with a spirit of sword, woo, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. When David began to roar, I believe things began shaking. I believe something began to happen in the atmosphere. That's why the enemy wants to silence you and to keep you quiet. And as I've said Sunday before that and a few times, when you begin to recognize the power that you have on the inside of you, you are a force to be reckoned with. He He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. So David began to clarify who he belonged to and who his covenant was with. Amen. He said, this day the Lord will deliver you in my hand. I'll smite you and take your head from you. You know, he had to be steaming hot, Goliath. He had to be steaming hot. This day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That is what your purpose of your victory is for. So that people of this world will see that there is a cause worth fighting for. There is something worth standing for. Amen. When others say, just let them go, and you've prayed for them before, and they just do it again, just let them do what they need. No, you keep standing, and you keep believing. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And David stepped out in the valley unafraid. Woo! He stepped out into the valley unafraid because he knew who he was in the Lord. He knew when he stepped out, God would step out with him. Not behind him, but right there. And he was saying, let's go, David. Let's get rid of this giant once and for all. Verse 48, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet him. David was running in faith. Are you running in faith this morning? Are you running in faith? And the anointing that God gave him, he hastened, which means quick to do something. How are you running? Are you running from the giant in your life, hoping it will go away? Are you ignoring the giant in your life, hoping it will go away? If the enemy has come to defy you, he's not going to let it go until you do something about it. That's why you need to stand up in faith and begin to speak what the Word says. And if he could get 5 seconds of your mind, he's going to take another 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. If there's a giant that's popping up in your life, you take care of it right then. Don't let it become so big that it consumes you. So are you like David? When you see the ugly head of a giant rising up in your life, are you quick to do something about it? Or are you just letting it go, hoping it may go away? Act on faith and trust God. When that roar, that word was released on the inside of David as he stepped out into that valley unafraid, it told David, it told of his attitude toward the enemy. My attitude is one of winning and not giving up. Amen. My attitude is knowing that God can because he said he would. Amen. Attitude has a lot to play in our lives. What's your attitude toward the giant? Is it one of fear or defeat? Or is it one of victory? If it's come to me, then God's given me the anointing to take care of it. Amen. David used his sling and a stone, as we know, to bring the giant down. The giants that come along in our lives are going to test the faith that we have. So he used his sling and stone to bring the giant down. Don't despise, as I said, the small thing in your hand. And always use what God is telling you to use. Amen. To others, it may not look like much compared to the giant you're fighting. To others, that sling and those stones look mighty small compared to what Goliath had, compared to what the giant had. But it doesn't matter the size of something. What matters is your faith and your trust in a God that overshadows you, that goes with you. Amen. David didn't stop there. Verse 50 and 51 says, he prevailed over him with a sling, a stone, smote him, slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. He ran, stood upon the Philistine and took his sword, drew it out of his sheath, slew him and cut off his head. That's what we have to do with the giants in our life. We need to make sure they're dead. We don't need to stop, but just saying, well, you know, just get out of the way, just, you know, la, 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 la. But we need to take a stand And we don't need to stop when we see him retreating. We need to make sure that he's gone and he's dead. Cut off his head. Amen. And sometimes it's easy just to tolerate what's going on in our life. Sometimes it's easier to tolerate than to stand and to fight something. But God has given us weapons to fight against the giants that come along in our lives. 1 Corinthians, after all, tells us in 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty through God to what? Overthrow and destructions of strongholds. The weapons that we have are given to us by God, and they are anointed to destroy the giants in our lives. Amen. So we take away from this scripture when facing a giant that God that you serve is capable of defeating any of the giants in your life that have come to steal, kill, and destroy, because that's the purpose of it. The purpose of the giants is to silence you, to keep you from roaring what's inside of you. Because once you open your mouth and that word begins to come forth, there is a roar in that word. And we no longer will be silent. But we will open our mouth and we will begin to speak. Amen. The God that you serve is capable of defeating the giants in your life that have come to steal, kill, and destroy. David's faith was born out of the experience of God's grace and mercy up to that point in his life. David was faithful over the few things, over the smaller giants. And now there was a big one. That's why when he marched into that place, he said, hey, this ain't nothing. I've already been there. I know who's going to help me again. Amen. So don't forget where God brought you from and through. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Face the giant head on with God on your side. Nothing is impossible. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Father God, we thank you for this, your word today that you have brought forth to the people. That no matter what we face in life, God, if we're just smooth sailing right now, there's nothing going on, praise your holy name. But on the days when, Lord, there seems like there's not no good news, that everywhere we turn and we look, but Lord, we as Christians, we that have a covenant relationship with you know that the good news is only found in the scripture, in your word. And that's what we stand on today. There's not a giant in our life that has not been slayed by your anointing, Father. And I just pray over these people today, whatever they may be facing, what they are standing for, that it is a cause to continue to stand. That no matter what comes our way, Father, there's nothing that we, the Holy Spirit, you and the Word can't handle, all agreeing together. And Father, I thank you as we leave this place today, being the first day of the week, that we bring this word into our lives, the sweet God. That we bring this word as we go about our daily living. That we bring this word that there is hope. There's hope in you because you are hope. And I speak your favor over these people today. Those that are listening to this message today or later, Jesus loves you, and he only wants the best for you. And he's trying to get his word to you. And there's nothing that you've gotten yourself into that God can't get you out of. Just trust and believe in him. I thank you, Lord, for your provision in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen.